So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
Hi, and welcome to the SI Experience. It's Chris Doughty here. I'm very excited to have a really good day lined up. It's going to be high energy. We've got two characters, I think myself and another one who is just going to be introduced shortly. And we are going to be talking about mindset. We're going to be talking about investors. We're going to be talking about sourcing agents. But mindset, planning, and operational execution, which I think can relate to all of us in all of our businesses. So we're very excited. Please at any time give any comments or questions. You're able to do that in the comment section, either whether you're in the Facebook group or whether you're on our YouTube site. So please at any time ask questions. So without further ado, I'm going to bring him in. His Daniel Latto. Hey, Daniel, how are you doing?
Yes, very well today. Thank you very much. I'm in Spain and it's a little bit overcast, and I was wanting for it to be really sunny and I could show off and show my red face and my suntan, but that's not happening today.
I think, as I say, you've got to get the Spain thing in. So I think we're probably getting better weather here in the UK at the moment, just right today anyway. But
yeah,
I think with all this lockdown, I think I was talking to somebody the other day and they said, thank God for the weather, because the last month or so here has been amazing, you know. So it's
and conversely, our last month has been dreadful, except the last couple of days it's like the heavens have cleared, thank goodness. But just today, typical when we're on a webinar, isn't it? That it's just
I know, it's brilliant. But thanks for joining us. And I think today we've done quite a bit of prep and wanted to really sort of translate to our audience and all the audiences who are coming in and watching this today. And also when they're not, even when they're sort of watching it afterwards. But today is going to be very much around a lot of challenges. You deal with a lot of people, but why don't you just, you know, for everybody here who's not fully acquainted with who you are, just give us, you know, a couple of, you know, who you are, what you do, and why are we here today?
Sure. So I've been investing for 20 years. I'm 47. I have an easy paper round. Sometimes people think I look a bit younger than I actually am. at least that's what I keep telling myself for saying about me anyway. So I've been an investor for about 20 years. We've pretty much bought every property below market value. Sometimes we didn't even know what we were doing. When we first started out, there was no help, no podcast, YouTube didn't exist, no property coaching, nothing. There was, you know, just nothing out there. So you had to learn at the coalface, and you used to get a lot of things wrong, and you get better from getting things wrong, really. And here we are 20 years later. We now live in Spain. We own a digital marketing agency. I don't know if you know this, but we just took over 50% of a lettings agency last week as well. And we've got multi-million pounds worth of property over in England. And I always point that way, and I have no idea if it's that way or not. It could be over there. But we got millions of pounds worth of property that we've built up over a 20-year period. And so we're here living in Spain. It's an amazing experience. If you get the opportunity, anyone who's watching to move to Spain, you should totally do it. Totally mind-blowing.
I couldn't have said it better. I'm going to fight for London and Greenwich. We've got a few different things here.
We've got the beach.
On the ground.
We're 100 metres from the beach, and it's like you put your head out the front gate and you're like, oh, you can see people windsurfing on your sea there. It's amazing. So I'll fight for it.
And you yourself have dealt with you have your own coaching programs. You have obviously met a lot of people. They fly over to you now. Whereas, you know, when you were here in the UK, you would do it here on the ground as well. But you know, with this experience of working with property people, business people, etc., has really led to giving you a bit of insight very much into what are the generic themes that people have problems with their limitations of their business, how do they progress. And I think today we're gonna touch on those in a decent way. And, yeah. And I think, you know, hopefully everybody here is gonna be very much into that and understanding what it means. So what are the questions that we really wanna start off with, and this is related to anybody in business, but obviously we're going to make this relative to investors and sourcing agents. So anybody who's out there, just please, you know, give us questions at any time. And this is something that we call this the iceberg business perception, and we're going to relate this specifically to sourcing agents, but it very much also relates to investors, businesses, etc. And I think a lot of training out there, I think a lot of the excitement of people is very much focused on the 25% above the waterline. Mm. And yet that's not everything, is it?
I'd say it's I wouldn't even argue if it's 20%. Like, it's really easy to go somewhere and get really excited, stand on chairs and scream, woo, we're going to be successful. Anyone can do that. It takes nothing to do that. Maybe £1,000 to buy the ticket, but anyone can do that. That is just, that's not even the start of the journey. That's before the journey has even begun. Now, don't get me wrong, the journey's got to start with a decision. But it's like, you know, four frogs sitting on a log and one decides to jump off. How many frogs sitting on a log? Four. Yeah. Because he's made the decision, hasn't taken any action. And so, like, one of the biggest barriers is it's just starting to take action. It's fine learning the information. Information's worthless these days. It's everywhere. It's on podcasts and YouTube and books. It's everywhere around us. But it's connecting the dots to turn that information into action that's going to get results. And sometimes those results that you're going to get are not the right results. And that's totally fine. At least you've taken the action. Then you can have what we call sensory acuity, where you're looking at the results and you work out that's not the right result. And then you use behavioral flexibility, I'm using some NLP terms here. Behavioral flexibility means that you then adapt what you do until you get the right answer. And the problem for most people is they get an answer that isn't what the answer that they wanted, and then they stop because, oh, it doesn't work that. And so that didn't work, but there's another million different ways of doing it. So you've got to keep going and keep going and keep going. And for me, I see that the successful people keep going until they get the result, whereas the unsuccessful people keep going until they get tired or they get fed up. There's a big difference between those two people.
But also, I mean, you know, just from my side, and I think I'm excited today, and so are you, because we're going to have a little bit of, what's the word, challenging each other on this.
Not shall we?
Yes, we are. But again, you know, from that perspective, for me, it's about being tenacious, you know, and yes, and taking action rather than sat there, you know, at the end of the day, wondering, should I do it or not? And analysis paralysis. But at the same time, what we find is that, you know, and if we relate this again to the sourcing business or even investors who have been through training, it's okay then, you know, trying and trying and trying. But where you can accelerate your results, in that means that actually getting those results in a shorter period of time or avoiding the pitfalls that others have had pitfalls before, that actually can be accelerated, the definition of success, through actually learning and with people who've done it previously and know what pitfalls are and can advise you, or can actually advise you with structures, systems, process. Does that make sense massively accelerate? Otherwise, you'll just keep banging and banging and banging at doors, which I could have told you, out of the 30 doors, don't knock on those 20, try those 10. And with that mindset of actually then taking action, combining that means you're going to be accelerated, you know, in your journey.
I've seen a video on YouTube and it's this really drunk guy trying to go up an escalator, except the escalator is going down and he's working so hard. He's putting all the effort in, but he's really drunk and he doesn't realize he's on the wrong escalator. He's working really hard. And he's there for ages trying to get up this escalator and he's not going anywhere. And then someone comes along and moves him 2 feet to the left, and is straight up the escalator to the top. And that, for me, is a perfect analogy of what happens with people who haven't got coaching, but working really hard, they're trying everything, they're sweating, they're working so hard, they're just trying to get up the wrong bloody escalator. And if you've just got someone to help them to go up the right thing, they get to the top a lot sooner. And I think that demonstrates what you were saying really well there.
And you know, if we relate this to, if I build this out, I think, you know, for everybody visually, it's much more interesting, I think. So in a sourcer world, or whether that's even an investor's sort of world in their business, you know, they talk about, you know, the sold or the buying of the property, which is at the top there. Then there's all the, you know, exciting communications of doing the deal, et cetera. And that's really where everybody kind of focuses. But actually, and underneath it all, to run successful businesses, you've got relationship management in not just, for example, dealing with seller, if you're a buying investor, but you've got relationship management of all of your power teams, your solicitors, your accountants, your banking, your builders, your potential lettings agents, etc. You've also got to run your own business, which is your business admin and legal side of it. Compliance, for example, even as here in the UK, even having a UK limited company, you still have to now technically register with the ICO, with the, you know, on dealing with information, if you're dealing with anybody, client's information. And then marketing and advertising, and that not necessarily relates directly to investors and their companies, but in an essence, they're outsourcing that to lettings agents. But they still that premise of what product do you have and how do you attract people to it. So there's all of this underneath. There's that, you know, the waterline of the exciting fun bit. And if you don't have systems, process, procedure, and the ability to operationally execute, that can become a burden, and people then drop off with their enthusiasm of not then, you know, delivering. And that's why after 6 months, a lot, for example, sourcing agents drop off, you know, and it's very sad to see.
I think the problem for many is that they have an inability to understand what it takes to get something across the line, and that line being a closed sale. And it does take communication at every level. So if you're the broker, you've got solicitors to deal with, perhaps both solicitors. You've also got the vendor to deal with, and you've also got the investor to deal with. So there's four extra people, as well as yourself and your team, that you've then got to deal with. And you've got to keep everybody up to date. And one of the things I love about compliance is that it's turning people into being more like estate agents. And actually, estate agents get all of this, most estate agents, I should say, get this done really well because they have to. Whereas most people are just having a go, having a play, and they haven't got any of these systems in place. And then they wonder why it doesn't work. I was being texted last night by a guy who's had a couple of deals fall through. He's not one of my clients. He's been on someone else's training course. And he can't understand why. And I'm like, well, what are your systems like? What's your communication like? And
yeah.
It doesn't have any. And he's like, no, I'm just getting a deal across the line. It's with solicitors. And I'm like, well, what's going on with them? I don't know. Well, that's no good.
Yeah.
And so people miss, you know, there are lots of areas in running a business. And like you quite rightly say, people think, I've got to go find a deal. Once I've got the deal, woohoo, $2,500 sourcing fee, I'm done. And it's like, no. You know, that, you know, you've got another 80% on that diagram right there, but you've still got to fulfill to get that deal across the line.
Correct.
And even though estate agents are very good at what they do mostly, and I know people kind of hate estate agents generally, me too, but generally most of them know what they're doing, still one out of three properties fall through.
Yes.
So if that's what it's like for a business with staff, with team that have been doing it 20 years, what do you think John, who's been on a weekend trading course, who's got his first deal, what's going to happen there?
Yeah.
There's a really good chance that that's not going to go through. And at that point, ties into what we were saying before, they go, it doesn't work. It totally does work. But the level of learning and the level of experience you've got to go through, you've got to fail forwards.
Yeah.
And so every time you get a failure, you double your effort. And at some point, you're going to get one across the line. And then it's, you know, once you've opened the floodgates, then you're allowing more to come through. And in fact, when people are starting up in sourcing and they're after that £3,000, £4,000, £5,000 fee, I'm like, well, how many have you done? None. I'm like, forget that. Sell it for £500. Get your experience through first because you get paid twice. The first time you get paid in experience, the second time is when the money comes. Everybody wants the money and people don't want the experience, but you don't get the money until you've got the experience.
Yeah.
And so you've got to go through that. But having support and systems and all of that kind of thing, that's really going to help you on your journey for sure.
And all of this, and again, I'm just going to relate this, you know, this is where, for example, you know, you either can learn it all yourself, you can create all the systems, you can do all of that. We had, you know, Tina Walsh on here talking about the compliance and why on the compliance related to operational execution, a lot of, you know, sourcing agents are failing and losing their, you know, what's the word, enthusiasm. And I think from mindset, you know, there's two parts here which you want to build out. We're going to talk about mindset now and around these sort of areas, which it's not just individual mindset on this, because I think that term is used a lot by a lot of people who use it as a term to say, think positive. Does that make sense? Create your mantras, you know, and it will happen. And I think what we've done here at SI, for example, is the mindset has been, we've seen the challenges and we are solving solutions for people and adding value. So in sorcery world, at the end of the day, this top to bottom stack that we've now, you know, highlighted, all of our system at £99 a month for a you know, expert sourcer to come on, you know, gets that completely done top to bottom. But that's okay, and you've got to have the systems. But on the mindset side, there are limitations that are happening, and those limitations that are affecting their success, and that's investor world too. We'll probably talk these through, and this is probably your expertise. But again, it's not just thinking positive. It's actually, at the end of the day, being aware of, yes, the positives, yes, the challenges, and facing up to those challenges and doing something about them as well. That's the mindset factor.
Yeah. It annoys me a little bit. I've been on courses and we go, okay, this is the mindset sector and it's 20 minutes on mindset. And I'm like, you can't do mindset in 20 minutes. I spent 25 grand on mindset. You know, I'm NLP 1 and 2 qualified. We spent with Chris Howard, with my NLP trainer, amazing trainer. I spent a lot of money because I knew that if I could get that bit right, and regardless of the obstacles that I'm dealing with, if I can find a way to overcome them, and, you know, the more I fail, the more I double my effort, you're going to overcome those obstacles. But spending 20 minutes on mindset from someone who's had zero training on mindset kind of annoys me a little bit. And also, thinking positive doesn't do anything. If you've got to chop your leg off, thinking positive doesn't change the fact that you've got to chop your leg off. It's learning how to deal with what happens afterwards. And quite an extreme example, but what about in sourcing when that deal falls through? Well, that's okay. And people get upset and fed up and despondent because the deal's fallen through. And I'm like, dude, you should be getting excited now because you've got a wonderful opportunity to learn right at the coalface. You're getting an experience that most other people would see in a different way, but go, oh, I'm no good at this. This is no good for me. It just doesn't work. So, okay, I know this point right here is where most people give up. I'm going to get beyond this point to see what's after it. You're already 95% further than everybody else if you can do that. Yeah. So some of the obstacles are real. You know, you might have limitations, like right now leaving the house and COVID. There are some obstacles there for sure. But that's not a game changer. It's not an end game, if you like, at all. There's all sorts of different ways. In fact, I got a message from one of the clients that bought the property sourcing training, and they put some text up on Gumtree, and they got their first phone call. And they did a virtual viewing. And so some people go, oh, I shut this down because I can't do anything for a few months. And other people, I mean, we bought a letting agent last week. We've got a £2 million business going through right now in construction during this lockdown. So it's not the obstacles that are real or perceived. It's how you deal with them and what your strategy is for dealing with obstacles. And one of those strategies is simply double the effort. Or, you know, some people in this lockdown have really contracted. And we did as well, by the way. We contracted and we were just waiting to see what was going on. And then when we got a feel for what was going on, then we went straight into it and we've expanded. Digital marketing agency is busier than ever. We've got a £1 million sale that's going through. It took us less than a week to source that and do that deal for a five-figure finder's fee, which is amazing. And yet other people are better just watch Netflix. That's crazy. Why would you do that? You've got this opportunity when everyone else is kicking back to go out and kick some butt, and that's what you should be doing. So it's working out what are the real obstacles and what are the perceived obstacles and then simply finding ways around it.
And the obstacles, again, is that challenge of it is an obstacle. Don't ignore it. Does that make sense? So if you are finding it tough to, and we had a great example, which I'll show after, but, you know, we had a source who joined us, you know, we highlighted it last week. You know, he was struggling to find investors. He didn't know how to structure himself professionally and how, because he was just starting out. He came onto the platform. He's able to then create that professional environment for anybody to see what he's done. He's then created it. He's found a deal. He's put the deal on there. And it was a very good deal, don't get me wrong. And he uploaded it on day one. By day two, he had two offers. By day three, he's closed it out. And do you know what? He was a proud individual and didn't want to admit that he wasn't applying what he had been taught. But then the realization was he hasn't been taught everything about running a business in sourcing. And so therefore actually taking a bit of humble pie and saying, well, okay, you guys seem to have figured this out, I'm going to pay you money. So from his perspective, he has paid for his training. It's not been fully adequate in the sense of how does he deliver operationally in the real world. Now he's had to pay again, but at the same time that was a hard thing for him to deal with, but now he's seen the success of it and now gets it that it's not just SI investors buying. He's now got you can use the platform in a white label perspective to now build his own business with it as well. So now he's completely on board. Now he's shouting about it on Facebook in Tina's group and everything to 6,000 individuals saying, this is legit. And that's his journey of getting over his obstacles and then doing something about it.
I think ignoring the obstacle is quite easy for people to do. In other words, stick their head in the sand, using that old proverb. But I think acknowledging what the obstacle is, first of all, is really important. And then working out what the resources that can actually help me overcome this. And it might be an additional team member, or it could be an additional strategy of something that we're missing, or it could be an additional system, like the system that you've developed is amazing. one of the problems that he's going to face is he's got his first deal like that, and the universe will give him a deal. There you go. And it'll take him ages to get his next deal because it gives you something really easy to begin with, and then it makes it really hard to see if you're still committed or not. And so his problem will be commitment in the next 6 months because his first deal is hard.
And Daniel, with him, just again sort of giving you a little bit more insight into Brian, you know, he is now, you know, obviously a big advocate of it, but he's done that in the last 4 weeks. It's going to close out legally in the next 2 weeks. So it's actually a short turnaround, you know, from that's during the COVID. So, you know, massive kudos to him taking that leap, moving it forward. We've seen a massive uptick in people now, you know, seeing the next few months or years or whatever as a buying opportunity. And you know what? He's got over his obstacle and moving forward. But you are. Now it's continually to do that and challenge yourself to keep getting over these obstacles. And again, dealing with rejection, because I'm sure it won't be as easy next time for him. And so in this case, you know, dealing with rejection. And what we put up here is it's not just dealing with investor rejection or investors dealing with rejection that their offer wasn't accepted first time round. But that's quite a hard thing to deal with on a day-to-day. And you feel like you failed because you expect in this world, unfortunately, now where you do something and you'll get immediate gratification or success, when in actual fact, people see success as something that's easily attained. Well, actual fact, you see most people who have been deemed successful, and you'll see that actually behind it, there's 90%, you know, failure or learning, and then 10% is the bit that people cherry pick and want to focus on.
Yeah, I think rejection's hard as well, because a lot of it is tied up to your early childhood. And when we work with people on mindset stuff, it always comes out, you know, they were told that we're no good by a father or a mum, or a school teacher is often one as well. You'll never amount to anything. You're no good. You're useless. I mean, these were all the things I've been told by teachers, by the way, sat out in maths, looking out. You're just a dreamer. And I'm, you know, these days I'm like, you're right. I dream for my villa in the Med. Thank you very much. You're absolutely right. Thank you. But that rejection carries all the way through, and people try and avoid rejection because it's painful from the stuff that happened in their past, you know. Yeah. And then they're in this avoidance strategy. Well, how can you be successful if all you want to do is avoid rejection? It's impossible. You're going to get rejected. And so some of it is looking back at what these times were, if you can remember them, and if not, taking a best guess and asking yourself, what were the learnings that I got back then when I was 10 or 13 or 18 or 5? It can happen at any point. And most people, the learnings are you're useless, you're no good, you'll never amount to anything, because that's what we've been told. And actually, if we look at those things and we turn them around, so, well, actually, the learnings that I got was that person was a failure. That person was useless. That person never. How the hell do they know what you're going to do when you're 5 or 10 or 15 or 18? I got 5 GCSEs, for goodness sake. My form tutor telling me I'm useless. Well, not so useless anymore, are we? Why should I rely on what he's telling me to form the way that I feel about myself and whether I'm going to be successful out there? So you should be looking forward, of course, but also I think you have to acknowledge what is this rejection and what is it that you're running away from. When you look at it, you change it. It's a quantum physics thing as well, but it's an NLP thing too. By looking at the thing and analysing it and asking better questions, you can change the results that come back to it. So, for example, if you say to yourself, why am I so useless? Like, that's what people ask themselves. Their brain will run off. It's like Google, and it will get a lists of reasons why you're useless. And you go, oh, wow, I must be useless. Whereas if you change that question to, how can I be a deal sourcer and be successful? Your brain will run off and go, you need systems, you need marketing, you need
They're
completely different answers. The same thing, you're the same person, you've not changed, but the way that you start questioning yourself is vital. And this is the bit that annoys me on, this is mindset training, 20 minutes on, be positive. It drives me insane. Can you tell?
I can tell. It sounds like me with regards to trying to solve a lot of issues for people. It's the same issues. It's the same common, you know, themes and stuff like that. And in actual fact, you know, people still go to the, I just want to fix it quick in 20 minutes. But in actual fact, you know, on a personal basis, you know, dealing with understanding yourself, psychology, you know, I've been seeing a life coach for 2.5 years now, and understanding those themes of what you talked about, rejection and how you perceive it. And again, just that's 2.5 years I've been doing that, and I still don't know it. But the key is it can be relearned, retaught, and actually gives you it's relief. It feels like relief. That's what it feels like once you get your head around it.
Well, it's a journey as well, you see, and people think there is a I'm fixed, and it doesn't work like that, because the other side of this is if you keep digging and asking yourself what's wrong with me, you will keep digging forever. At some point, you need an open date and an end date, like bookends, where you start this journey and you go, okay, I'm going to finish this journey on this date and I'm fixed. Whether you are or not is irrelevant. It's what you're saying to yourself, I'm not going to allow this. I'll give you a really bizarre example of this. When I first started dating my wife, I was allergic to cats. I was so allergic, my eyes would puff up and I couldn't see out. I was totally fed up of it. And I was doing some NLP training at the time, and I was like, it's crazy, but let's just try this. And I made a decision not to be allergic to cats anymore. I went home, I wasn't allergic to cats. And I'm like, what the hell is that about? How does that work? But it was the decision that I made at the time that actually made a physical manifestation. It's like, what on earth is that about? I don't believe in that stuff. But here I am, fine with cats now. It's just weird. So it's the way that you think that transforms how you act, and you've got to take better control of that. And the other thing that I do is I listen to the words that are coming out of my mouth and seeing whether they're above the line, positive, or below the line, which is negative or negative self-talk. You know, like when you bang your knee on a desk and then you go, oh, you're so useless. Like, I still do that. And then I have to rephrase that so anyone can bang the knee. You know, it's ridiculous. It can get ridiculous. But it's really vital that you start listening to that self-talk, the words that are coming out of your mouth and the thoughts that are going through your head, and then you make a conscious decision to start changing those to something more positive. It will change your life.
And I think, you know, one of the biggest things that I've been taught is very much so that you are in control. You are responsible for how you feel. And I think, you know, as soon as you take personal responsibility, that if something bad happens, how you react and feel is actually in your control. And I think 99% of people, you know, including, you know, people who haven't been, whatever you want to call it, enlightened, is around you have the control of that. And that's not something that happens in 5 minutes because you consciously want to tell yourself that you're not responsible. It's actually something that's learned over a period of time and reinforcement. And what it means is that, like I said, you come into the fact of that most people want to blame all external factors for why things aren't happening. And don't get me wrong, there will be external factors that you cannot actually control. But at the same time, the majority of the factors that limit yourself are actually internally on how you perceive it. So I don't know, a deal has fallen through, or I didn't get that property I want. Well, you know, everybody wants to immediately then, you know, oh, that's awful. I feel, you know, awful and bad and failure and all the rest of it. You control how you perceive that and how you then move from that. And it's okay feeling it. It's okay feeling these, you know, disappointments. But then it's that moment of, are you going to sit there holding on to that? Or are you going to now say, right, I've learned, how did I assess it? What can I learn from it? And how can next time I do something a little bit better?
Yeah, those learnings are vital. I remember Kobe Bryant, and I love basketball, by the way. And Kobe obviously passed away in February, but there was a story about he was talking to a lady who plays in a WNBA, the Women's National Basketball Association, and she never watches herself on tape. And after every game, Kobe watches himself, and he's asking her, why are you not watching it? She's like, it's too painful. And he got her to sit down, he did it with her, and she started watching herself play the game that she'd just lost. And they're pulling it apart, and her game went even to another level, you know. And it's that looking at what happened, how can I improve it, what can I do wrong, what can I get better, what did I do wrong, how can I improve that for next time. And it's these little 0.25% improvements as we go through. You know, 20 years I've been investing in property, I'm a much better investor today than I ever was 20 years ago. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And I'm a much better investor for 10 years ago and a much better than 5 years ago. And I'll be even better in another 5 years and another 10 years. That's what we call experience, which is number three.
And number three, so again, you know, a challenge of, you know, people who've just been trained, whether it be a sourcing agent, whether it be an investor, that can actually be a limitation in itself, right? Because you're a bit worried that you're not that experienced. And I have this a lot with my mentees, you know, is what do I do? How do I talk? You know, and we sit down and we actually, you know, in live mentoring over the year that we do, you know, we will get them to make the call to estate agents, even though they are very uncomfortable themselves, to actually ask fundamental questions. And it's not so much what the questions are or what the answers are. It's the actual process of confidence of doing that. And I remember when I started out in sort of 2007, you know, the into a new sector. So I used to be in, you know, work for Intel Corporation. And I think we share sort of a common denominator, and that used to work for Dell. And you know, taking a little bit of that experience and then trying to apply it to a new sector was still daunting. I didn't know what, you know, myself with the right language or terminology or what it meant. So dealing with experience is a tough challenge for a lot of people, and to get over that. And how do you work with people to solve that?
Well, I think the biggest thing I want to point out here is dealing with experience is that people are fearful, and the fear that they have the most is that they will get found out in some way, that the mask will slip. And we all wear masks, by the way, one way or another. We're all wearing a mask. And what people see us outside is not really who we are. And sometimes when we look at ourselves, we're wearing a mask to ourselves because we want to hide ourselves in some way. But people are fearful that people will find out that they're not really 20 years experience or 10 years experience or 1 year experience. And it's like, well, where does the line actually begin? Is it in 6 months? Is it in a year? Is it 5 years? Or is it 10 years? I've spoken to guys who've got 30 years experience who still are worried that the mask will slip. And it's like, dude, you've been doing it 30 years. Just, you know. So it's about understanding the journey that you're on and knowing that this is your end goal. This is where you started and this is where you are currently. But yes, there's lots to learn, but you're certainly 95% further on than everybody else who's never even started it or have done a training and then didn't take action. And it's just learning at the coal face. You get better every time you fail. Every shot that you take, that you miss, you get better. Every time you're trying to ride a bike and you fall off, you're learning how not to fall off through falling off. Every deal that doesn't go through and gets stopped by a let's say, a solicitor who's a know-it-all, great, wonderful experience. And again, most people give up at that point because they're like, yeah, but this solicitor's got 35 years experience and I've only got 6 months. What does that mean? A five-year-old could win the FA Cup final if they were close enough to the goal and kicked the ball across the line. A five-year-old could win the FA Cup final, not a 35-year-old Ronaldo or I don't know how old he is. But do you know what I mean? If you've got the skills and the resources and the strategy and the mindset to be in the right place at the right time, you can get that ball across that line, which is the same as getting the deal across the line. It doesn't matter what experience you've got.
And this is a great comment from one of the guys watching it. We've got quite a few people watching it. Very well said, Daniel and Chris. Formal international athlete and professional acrobat, the ability to deal with failure is an invaluable tool that transfers to many situations. And that's from Tim Sanders. So thanks, Tim. Really appreciate that.
Thank you, Tim.
So, dealing with that. But here's something that's very apparent to a lot of people who want to take that step and change their lives, and how they've got to that decision point, whether they've been coerced, whether that's come from within, and coerced being in a high-pressure sales environment or something like that, is number four here. And this is a very interesting, I remember what I did, but dealing with debt, and that comes in not just in the case of paying for a course. This includes understanding what good debt is, what bad debt is, dealing with, you know, debt on a portfolio, and how that very much differentiates between, you know, going to put £5,000 on a credit card, paying for a holiday and you know, worrying about it later. That's a very different scenario. Mm. But in this regard, dealing with debt, and we're relating it to somebody's paid for a course, how do you now, you know, the worry of how do you focus on, you know, where you're going? Whereas I think a lot of people get stuck on the panic and the worry. I'm now, you know, £3,000 into a hole. I don't know quite how to deal with it. And where's that next step there, Daniel, you know?
So I think some of this comes down to strategy as well. So first of all, let's deal with bad debt, because I think that's worth a conversation. If you've got £5,000 worth of debt, that's 10 months at 500 quid. That's the first bit. Or it could be 20 months at £250. So the first question you need to ask yourself is, what does that money matrix look like? Is it 50 months at £100 maybe? And then it's, okay, how do I make an extra £100 if you haven't got £100? So that's 20 cars at £5 a car to wash, right? So now you've got £100. Now you're on the way to paying down that debt. And I'm not necessarily convinced that you shouldn't buy training, but I don't think you should be buying £5,000 training. You should be buying 27 quid training, because what if you don't like it? And take action. And then when you've taken action on the £27 training, then you might want to upgrade and get some coaching and so on. But you've got to start small. I like the acorn principle, where you plant a business using very little money and it grows into something. You know, my first letting agency, that cost me like £10 to set up. We sold that for a five-figure sum, a top-end five-figure sum, I should say. And so I don't believe you should be spending an awful lot of money. But let's say that you do. You should be also then future planning that. Okay, so let's say 10 deals are going to come off this training. It costs £5,000. That means each deal cost me £500 on education. Now, your first deal, it's not £500. Your first deal cost you £5,000 to pay for the training. Your second deal cost you £2,500 to pay for that training, because you've got two properties split in two, you know. The next one is three, four, five properties. So each one, and it should be a line item on your spreadsheet for when you're doing your profit and loss. So you're actually taking it into account. This is your seed capital. And you want to be looking at this over a longer period of time, 5 to 10 years, to see what your return on investment was. So my very first property I bought for 40 grand, it's now worth, I don't know, 170. But I remortgaged the living hell out of that property, right? And I'd used all that money, let's say £100,000. That was when I first started, that 100 grand, I started buying as many properties as I could. I'm now getting an infinite return on that, because it was literally the thing that's spreading to everything else. And it was a £40,000 start, which I bought with no money down. So I actually, my whole portfolio is built on zero, because we bought a property with no money down. We didn't put any money in. And any money that we've since put in came from either the property values going up over time, or us adding value to the property and selling it or refinancing it, or actually the 100 grand a year job at Dell, which is an external thing. But you don't need that external thing. You just got to be really sensible and have a strategy for, what is my money looking like today? What did it look like a year ago? What's it going to look like 12 months, 60 months, 100 months from now? What is that going to look like? And what do I want it to look like? And so that then is about taking control over what you want your future to look like.
So we've talked about mindset, and I think that's really nicely led into where we want to go next, which is very much around, yes, you can have mindset. You can, you know, tenacious, learn, adapt, apply, learn, adapt, apply, you know, and keep that going. But what you spoke about there is also breaking it down into smaller chunks. It's about breaking it down into a realistic plan. And I think a lot of the time where I, you know, speak to, you know, my mentees or clients, you know, they go, well, I would like a net of £5,000 a month coming in. And I think in a lot of countries, you know, that's huge. And then that's huge to anybody, even here in the UK, you know. But you don't look at that. You look at, that's the end goal. And if you break it down into, you know, if that we're going to achieve that in a 3-4 year period, and that means that therefore it's going to take 5 properties and there's going to be a net. Well, what type of properties do we need? Oh, it's going to be HMOs. Well, what kind of capital do we need for that? And you break it all the way back, just like you said there. It's not the 5 grand. It's the 50 times 100, you know, that is going to add up. And if you relate that to today, then that means, well, what's your first step? Yeah. Well, my first step is actually I've got to make myself £50.
Yeah. I remember with a client, and he was dealing with anxiety and stress, and he's a handyman. And when we broke it down as to why he was getting so anxious and stressful, it's because I've got this house to do, and there's so much work I have to get done, and he's painting a door, and all he's thinking about is all these other jobs that he still has to do and hasn't got done. And that then came down to time management. Well, how long does it take to paint a door? Half an hour. Okay. Both sides? Yeah, I can do half. Yeah, both sides. Okay. Start breaking down your day into these little half-hour slots to do each job. If you've got 120 jobs to do across the whole house, great. That's going to take you 60 hours. Now, plan the 60 hours for the next 3 weeks. Easy. And as soon as he started breaking it down into small bite-sized chunks, and then the bit to understand is when he's painting that door up and down, he doesn't have to do anything else. All he's got to do is finish that door in half an hour. That's it. That's all he's got to think about. Break it down, do that one thing to the best of his ability. Once that thing is done, cross it off, move on to your next thing. And it's this slow progress. Fixes anxiety very, very quickly, because he was just taking on everything all at once. The brain can't cope with it, and it deletes, distorts, or generalizes, 99% of all the stuff that comes in, like your little toe on your left foot right now, that you weren't thinking about 2 seconds ago. Now you think, just wiggle that little toe. There you go. Now you're thinking about your little toe, for God's sake. We delete all that information because it's not relevant, unless you've cut it or it's hurting, then that's a warning. But most people are trying to look at all this stuff. Well, I should be capable of doing all this stuff. Well, why? What makes you so special? Do you know what I mean? We're all the same. We're all the same humans.
And all it is what you're saying here is start.
Number one, that's it. Do the first thing, get that done. When you got that done, do the next thing. Done.
Yeah. And it sounds silly, but it's actually there is an art to it.
Absolutely.
And again, combining. And again, it's from experience. And I think hilariously, if I look at, my entire career today, going from corporate world, and they drilled it into you, set yourself goals this year. What does it mean? And I'd be like, whatever. Do you know, I get to the end, I don't even give myself credit for all the things, great things I've done. And again, but the key thing is plan, bite-sized chunks, execute. And before you know it, after a year, you've achieved a massive amount. And to you, it was just, well, I just did that 10 minutes a day. What's the problem?
Yeah. It's really funny. I remember writing, because I think this is important as well, is to write down your successes and your achievements like every quarter. So you have an end of quarter review on you as a person, maybe a business, but you as a person. So end of quarter, what have I done? What am I proud of? What obstacles have I overcome? What successes have I had? I'll give you an example. Me and my wife were doing it. And it was April, and we were writing down, it was something that I couldn't remember, something really important I'd done, and I couldn't remember it. And then it took me like a day. Finally, I remembered it, and I'd broken an arrow. You know the arrow breaking where you step forward and broke the arrow? And I'm like, how the hell do you forget something as major as that? Pretty big achievement. I'm like, wow. And it just goes to show how easy it is to forget how amazing we can be.
Because
the first moment that you bang your knee, you've done that, but you bang your knee on a desk and you're an idiot. They're the bits that we remember. And I think it's really important to start reminding ourselves not only of where we're going, but also of where we've been in terms of successes, because they adding up will get us to where we want to get to.
So we've talked about mindset, we've talked about breaking it down and goals and planning and having a step, and then there's another area, but I think visually, this is probably going to help with everybody. Is we've spoken about mindset, and it's not just that by itself. So doing a mindset, by itself or a coaching course, that's only one piece of the puzzle. Mm. And the definition for me, success is what you deem the success to be. It's not what other people think. It's not comparing yourself to others. If your success is, I would like to have 2 properties to have in my retirement, where I can keep, working, doing my job that I'm working for, a big corporate, and that's what you want to do, that is brilliant. And if that is your definition of success, then you can create that. But you still need mindset. We've talked about the benefits of planning. You have to have that as well. In order to have that mindset and the planning combined, the final piece, which I think I always want to get, is operational execution. Mm. And that is systems, that is process, that is scalability, and all the things we talked about, what SI provides to sourcing agents. And for me, this is where overarching, you have to have those 3 things to create that success that you desire. But if you only have 1 or 2 of those, it's probably going to be a rougher journey than having all 3 combined together. And that's what we wanted to represent here.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we look at what percentage of time are people spending on those 3 areas, there'll be a definite mismatch. So how much time are you spending on mindset? And the mindset aspect isn't necessarily listening to audio tapes. It could be just you listening to the words coming out of your mouth and recognizing them. Or having a mood chart where plus 10 is you feel amazing and negative 10 you feel terrible. And every time you're on a minus, let's say minus 7 or 8 or 9 or 10, you write down what was it that put you in that mood. Just recognizing this is the acknowledgement of why you're feeling like that, and you realize you've spoken to your boss. It's like, oh, heck, it's my boss. He's what's making me depressed. I need to get rid of my boss.
Yeah.
And you could use that then as a springboard for motivation, because we are motivated by away from motivation and towards motivation. And knowing what that energy that's sending you in a particular direction is really important. A little bit windy here, sorry. So I'm going to get blown away here. It's amazing. So sunny Spain and all that. But understanding what that motivation is, I think, is really, really important. And it's, I just like looking into this stuff for me to work out, okay, I hate doing this. And I hated having a boss. Always hated having a boss. That's why, you know, I've not had a boss for 20-odd years now. And that was my motivation. And then we, you know, we went from some terrible money situations a long time ago, 15 years ago, horrific stuff, you know. And I, that was a great learning because I was like, I never want to go back there. But again, it's all away from motivation. And if all you've got is away from motivation, as soon as you're not in pain anymore, you then stop being motivated. Then it has to turn into, what do I want? Like, I'm looking at yachts right now. I'm not buying a yacht. It's the most ridiculous, stupid thing ever. Do not buy a goddamn yacht. I've had a Porsche. Stupid, ridiculous thing. Don't buy one of them either. Buy assets. But I'm looking because it's towards motivation, you know. Going to the Ferrari showroom, you know, touching the car, smelling the leather, sitting in the driver's seat, booking your holiday in 12 months' time, not on a credit card. You know, if it's a 2.5 grand holiday and it's in 10 months' time, save 250 quid a month. By the time you get there, honestly, there's nothing better than going on holiday when it's paid for. It feels amazing compared to knowing you've got this bill to get back to. That, it's about looking forward and planning this in such a way that that is the inspiration for you. And that can... It's kind of, you've got to do all of it all at the same time. It's like plate spinning. You've got to run them all at the same time. You can't just focus on, I'm going to get my first deal. It's all of it.
So I think what we wanted to, you know, really summarize this in how to, you know, we've talked about mindset. We've talked about operational execution. We've talked about the planning. And I think really to summarize this, you know, how can these issues that people are facing, you know, be summarized into execution? And I think we've sort of summarized it into 4 points, which is, you know, you've got to initially have that commitment, and that's commitment initially, but that commitment to see it through, you know, and sometimes that's really hard, because talking about commitment to me is, you know, everybody's committed in some form every day, you know, whether that commitment is to their family, whether that commitment is to make sure that there's food on the table, whether that commitment is to themselves in order to do the best that they can. But commitment, you know, sometimes you need that recharge from other people and energy. Does that make sense? You know, it always comes from within. You know, you're going to run out. It's a bit like the Energizer Bunny. You're not going to be the Energizer Bunny 24/7. And then, you know, we talk about structure, you know, structure and planning. Then there's the ability to have that and implement. But then, okay, that's fine. You've done one deal in the case of, we talk about Ryan. How does that scale up so you can now do one deal every month for sure? What do you need in place to be able to do two a month for sure? And that's not going to happen in a month's period. You know, you've got to be able to plan and execute. We've been doing SI for now 5.5 years now, and we've come so much further. I mean, I would love to have it quicker and faster and better, but I think even if you gave me, you know, 5 million quid to actually execute what we've done in a short period of time, you probably wouldn't have solved a lot of the problems or really understood the nuances to be in a position now to actually go and bring the USA online, because it would have just been chaos. Yeah. You know,
just on that, I think it has to go at its own speed. And the analogy I would use is when you've got a flower and you're feeding it and you're pouring water over it and there's loads of sun and you're talking to it, come on, grow. Well, the flower's going to do it in its own time, okay? Yeah. And if the nutrients in the soil, they still got to be good. The soil's still got to be good. And you still have to water it. And you still have to talk to it, probably. Yeah. And it still needs the sunlight. But it should have taken 5.5 years. Because if you'd have done it in 12 months' time, the thing wouldn't have lasted. Because you're growing roots into the ground, using the flower analogy, or the bamboo analogy is a better one. But it takes 5 years for a bamboo to grow its roots. And it doesn't show at all. I mean, you come back in year six and it's 100 foot tall. It's because it spent the first 5 years planting its root, which is exactly what you've done. That's why your business will be around for way longer than all these other fly-by-night people are coming in. Very quick amount of success, loads of marketing, loads of shiny objects, but no real actual structure to their business. They're going to fail miserably. And that's why that journey is really important. All those four things on that previous slide all count to making that happen.
And in actual fact, you know, from this, we've got a really good question. It's actually... from somebody we both know, So this is from Dell. Are mindset and operational execution mutually exclusive or linked?
So we spoke about this, didn't we, yesterday? We were having a little chinwag about it. Maybe a disagreement. So I would say that mindset is more important than operational execution. Let me explain why before you interrupt. So mindset's more important for me because we all know complete and utter idiots that don't have a bloody clue, but they're supremely confident. Yeah. And they get stuff done. And then we know people who are very operationally minded and they can't do it because they can't get over the hurdle of that fear that we spoke about before. What if a mask slipped? And so really that was the angle that I was coming in at yesterday on the mindset stuff. But then I found myself agreeing, God damn it, with what you said. And it's definitely a mixture. You can only go so far on mindset and blagging it.
It's a blend. And I think what I wanted to sort of bring is, you know, mindset is, you know, it's something that, again, is not given. You've got to work at it hard with the right people, yourself, but mostly yourself internally. And that can be done through books. It can be done through self-reflection. Mm. And I think, you know, for me, I am always driving, you know, and being busy. And that was actually hurting me, doing too much operational delivery, too much execution, and not really, what's the word, combining that with my own mindset. Because getting fulfillment out of achieving only comes from within. And that fulfillment is what we're trying to, I think, ultimately get to, that peace. Does that make sense, of satisfaction?
But, yeah, it's actually a holistic view is what we need. So it's like, if you're overweight, does that stop you being a great business owner? It will put some brakes on it. Yeah. And if you're working 80-hour weeks, is that going to affect your health? Yeah. How can it not? And if you're depressed for whatever reason and you're not sorting out that reason, either through, you know, through help with your doctor or more meditation, whatever that happens to be, that is going to hinder you. However, if you work out, you know, 20 minutes a day or an hour three times a week, and you're working 40 to 50 hours and you've got family time, I know it's a lot of plates to spin, but if you can put all this in place, and that really comes back down to having the plan. And then when you've got the plan, it's executing the plan. So if the plan is good and you execute according to the plan, you're going to get these results, which are going to be great. If the plan's rubbish and you execute well, you're not going to get those results. And if the plan's not good and you're great at executing, you might get some results, but not quite the results that you want. So it has to be this holistic view of health, mindset, health, management of money. Like, people go, oh, money's not important. You try living without money. The best thing I ever heard was Brad Sugars from Action Coach. And he said, money doesn't buy you happiness, but it does buy you a jet ski. And I was like, that's so cool. I need to get myself a jet ski.
It does buy you a jet ski. But, you know, if you don't appreciate the jet ski after and what you can do with it and with who, and then appreciate the moment of doing that, because you're always thinking about what's next, then you're never going to get that satisfaction that you ultimately desire. And you know, I think some of the happiest people, you know, that you will find, you know, out there genuinely are, you know, people working with their hands. You know, I know a plumber who every single year makes sure he goes fishing for a month, you know, and without doubt, that's his control. I'm going fishing. I don't care what jobs I've got coming on. Do you know what I mean? That's what I'm going to do. And again, if you don't have the ability to sit there and enjoy, you know, the little bits through the journey, then you end up driving for something that ultimately you're not going to be satisfied with, no matter how big it is.
All that comes down to self-care for me. So he recognizes that self-care is important, and he's recognized what the solution is for his self-care. Me going fishing for a month would be opposite to how it makes him feel. But whatever it is, like, I play basketball every Friday morning, except now because we're in lockdown. But for an hour, hour and a half, shooting shots from all over the place, I love it. That for me is my happy place. But now I've not played it for 6 weeks, and I'm starting to get a bit shaky. You know, I need to get out there and play with my little kids. One, it's only about 6 foot tall, but it'll do. But it's like finding what is that thing. I think it's really important, and then setting aside the time to go and do it. And most people go, no, I'm too busy for that. I'm on this journey. I've got to do this journey. And it's like, we'll never get to the end because we're not doing this self-care.
Take 5 minutes.
Absolutely.
And you know, what I'm going to show, you know, again on the screen now is just really that what we've been talking about and how that, again, sort of applied, you know, in reality. And this is Ryan. You've not seen this before, but I brought this up before. But this is for the sourcing agents watching this. You know, this was where, you know, somebody's wanted to take, you know, a charge of their life, build a business. And you know, 2019, which is only, you know, a few months ago, you know, it took two training courses, no genuine support after. And again, you know, really enthused, has got, you know, a lot of, you know, tenaciousness about him, and a smart guy as well. But again, moving into a new sector, not sure how to apply that knowledge, and whether that, you know, and then there's another discussion of, was there enough knowledge there to how to apply it in reality? Mm-hmm. You know, and again, we've shown, going back to the start on the iceberg, you know, a bit of confusion on how to actually execute the business. Well, if you focus on only the top 25, no wonder that you're not going to get the 100% results, because you've got 75 below the waterline. You know, how to work with investors. And it just led to a lot of, you know, high risk, because then you're like cutting corners. You're trying to, you know, be tenacious, but not have the right, you know, what's the word, structure in order to execute, and a lot of disappointment. And what we've shown here is, you know, what, you know, when you work with people who get it, this is, again, sort of Ryan and a demonstration of him in the conversation there on the one deal. And, you know, within, you know, it was introduced to us on the 2nd of April. He uploaded his first deal on the 8th of April, two offers on the 9th of April, and was able to sell it, agree the sale agreed on the 10th of April.
That's amazing.
And now using, you know, SI for his own clients, because we've had the ability for them to build their own businesses. And I'm not shy of spreading good news, you know what I mean? And this is actually, you know, all of the challenges that we talked about, and you know, we have now monthly calls with all of our agents to work on how's your business going, what's the data, how can you change, you know, are you sourcing the right kind of, you know, properties for your area, are you certain, you know, for, what's the demand from the clients? And again, this is working as a unit, combining all of this stuff, you know, the mindset, the planning, what you're going to go and do, and then how are you going to operationally execute. And today's been great, but I wanted to show in reality to people on the call what that actually translates to.
Yeah. Love it. He's done amazingly well. And a great first start. The key is, you know, when France first came to the World Cup and they won it the very first time they were in it, and they got there and they went, yeah, we've won. Don't know what it was all that was about, really. I don't think we've won it since, have we?
No.
So it's like, it's easy. And because it was easy, we don't put as much effort in because we're too confident. And the world is like that. You know, it will come. And we know this from Rocky, you know, the Rocky film. Nothing hits as hard as life. And it's about how many times you get back up, you know. But most people get hit and they stop. But having a success off your first go is a bad teacher, or can be, depending on how it is. But because he's now got that support, he knows what's coming. He knows his next deal is going to be harder.
Yes.
Because the first one was so easy. But he's got the support. So I love the platform that you've created. Absolutely amazing. And it needed 5.5 years for the flower to bud properly, for it to blossom.
Now it's time. Now it's time to bring, as I say, you know, transparency, security to investors, and also business platform for a lot of actually genuine good people on the ground who unfortunately are in an industry where there are a lot of people that aren't so good. And so therefore, this actually brings it to the forefront to allow people to get results, whether that be return on actual property investments or creating revenue from finding properties and working with good investors. So no, I'm pleased. And you know, we're going from strength to strength. So I think what we're going to do is honestly, I think today's been fantastic for everybody. And what I wanted to do was obviously show to people what is next. What is the potential action? So if you're watching this, whether it be live, we've got a load of questions that to be asked. But we can be, normally this is a half an hour webinar. Daniel and I could just, you know, talking all day and hopefully be very useful to people. But what we've got also is a couple of things, and it's about two different types of people. If you're a sourcing agent and you're just starting out, as we talked about, taking baby steps, and more importantly, you know, not having to think you have to do so much, which means, you know, spend thousands and thousands of pounds on something that, you know, that's out there. So, you know, Daniel's got, and again, we're promoting this because we are now consistent business partners now, and this is by far the best early step for people on that journey. We had, I think this morning, about 8 people join our sourcing agents group, all with the question answered of, we're just interested in sourcing. So anybody, you know, with those questions and stuff like that, it's £27, 15 modules, 90 videos. I've done it. And as I say, just to make sure that it was good, and it was very good. And compared to what's out there, it's no nonsense. And this was, you know, a great comment from Sarah on that. So you can go and do that by going to sourcinginvestments.co.uk/starttraining and take that action now. And again, you know, it's £27. If you're genuinely interested in this sector, this is the starting point where you should start. And then from my side, you know, for any other people who are not just starting out, they've got the company, they've been on a training course, that resonates with Orion, you know, there's taking action for established sources. And this is if you've got your compliance, you've got your company, but you're struggling with connecting A to B, which is the investors to your business to revenue, and you've not quite there with understanding how that actually executes. And Ryan was a great example. And this is where you can now, you know, reach out to us, have a conversation. In here, we've got Tony Walsh, who is the husband of Tina Walsh, who a lot of people have heard about in this sector. So Tony will have that conversation with you, or Bonnie Marshall, who works on an ecosystems, Sourcer ecosystem for us. So please reach out to Tony directly. It's only an email to have a conversation for a free business review and a demonstration of the sourcing investment system. But the time is now on both of these. So if wherever you are starting or just starting out and interested or actually want to actually execute with a platform which has had genuine results, then please do so. And hopefully, you know, have you got anything to add there, Daniel?
No, I was just going to say, actually, when we first created this training course, you're always nervous about putting a new training course out because you're like, is there enough in there? How will it be? What will the reception be like? And one of the comments that came through was they'd just come off somebody else's weekend training course that cost like £2,000 or £3,000. What's it, who it is? But they've been on their training course, and then they went and bought mine, and they said mine was so much better than the weekend training course and much more in depth. And it was such a relief, you know, when you're putting content out that people can actually use it and get deals off it and implement it. And, you know, I'm proud to put that content out because we get reviews coming through all the time from people who've done it and are implementing it and saying that it works, you know. And for £27, you just can't go wrong. So, and then Tony, obviously, Tony knows his stuff, husband of Tina. Both Tina and Tony have been clients of mine for about 8 years. I don't know if you actually knew that. So, and we help coach them. And so they really know their stuff. Amazing from the property sourcing compliance point of view. And definitely, if you are an investor and a sourcer, you should be booking that phone call with Tony to see how you guys can help them.
So we've just had a really good question, Daniel. We're going to take a couple of these before I actually sort of we've got a signature 60 seconds, which you don't know what's coming. But we've got really good questions. So we've had, you know, some comments. That's from Tim. Thank you, guys. Superly motivational. So we'll again, for everybody, you know, we'll put this out there. There's some actions to do. We've got a really good question here from lady here. What online resources are available on Mindset?
Good question. There's only one that you need. So if you go onto iTunes, you type my name in, there's a podcast that you can download. It's got 350 different podcasts. We go from 8 minutes to some of them are like an hour and a half long. I think we did one with a talk show who does crowdfunding. We had to break it into two separate bits because it's like 3 hours long kind of thing. But we do a lot of Mindset on that. And then on the YouTube channel, so we have a show called Mindset and Hustle Show. It's on YouTube every Friday. It's supposed to be at 12 noon, but we're in lockdown, so it's around 12 noon. Depends on what lessons we've got with the little one. But there's a load of stuff there, and it's all stuff for me that I've learned on my journey that we then share what actually works, and we get rid of the stuff that doesn't work because it's just waffle or flannel, and there's a lot of that about. Getting down to the nitty-gritty where stuff, you can take this bit of information, then you can implement it. Like the time management one, for example, you implement the time management one, I think it's like podcast 8 or something, you implement that, your life will change beyond all measure in the next 5 years. Because now you like a task management machine where stuff gets done. You'll actually end up running out of stuff to do because you become so efficient. It takes a little bit of discipline, but once you've implemented that, it's available. So it's on the podcast. If you go to iTunes or you go to Stitcher, then you can just download that onto your device.
Brilliant. No, I appreciate that. Good questions, both. Okay. So we've got some others, but I think we've been going for just over an hour, which is about like 5 minutes. You've had about like 5 minutes. So what we're going to do now, which is a normal little thing, we'll have a little bit of fun at the end of it. We're going to find out who Daniel Latto is. So
I'm a little bit nervous about this.
It's always a case of people just don't know it's coming. And they're just nice, friendly questions, but let's find out who you really are. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to put you in centre screen and say Daniel didn't know it's coming, and this will be great for running. So we're going to put 60 seconds on the clock on quick fire questions. So are you ready?
Yeah, ready.
What's your favourite food?
Oh, pizza.
What is the one thing that annoys you the most?
People who don't take action really annoys me. For pay money and then we don't do any action and then we wonder why it doesn't work.
What is the first thing you do when you get up in the morning?
It's rubbish. I do two things. One is check Facebook because I'm useless. Two, I log into my bank and I update my Excel spreadsheet with all the money that's come in and all the stuff that's gone out every single day, including Sundays.
I like that. Party or relax?
Oh, God, I'm 47. Relax.
Cold or hot?
Hot. Hotter the better.
Dogs or cats?
Dogs. We got both. One of each. Dogs.
What was the last item you purchased?
I've got it here. Hang on. This Canon M50 for €600.
What colour is your toothbrush?
Blue and white.
What's your favourite movie of all time?
Oh, Shawshank, Star Wars, Star Trek. Anything sci-fi, really, other than Shawshank.
Yes. Secret geek like me.
Yeah.
How do you like your steak cooked?
Medium. No blood.
Are you a morning or night person?
Definitely a night person, but my wife is a morning person.
Potential conflict.
Yeah.
Final question. What would you do if you didn't have work tomorrow?
I haven't got work tomorrow. So I would do what I do now because I love it. I just love it. I love my life. It's taken a long, hard
slog
to get here. Yeah. And now we're here and I love it. And I love seeing messages coming through and changing people's lives and people you don't even know. And you're going, you've changed my life. And you're like, what? Who the hell are you? And you've done stuff and I love it. And that's why we do the podcasts and the YouTube videos and stuff like this. You know, I love that stuff. So
it's great. And I say, I really appreciate your time, Daniel. You know, we could be here. I think we'll definitely do some more webinars together for sure. You know, we've got a lot to talk through, but thank you so much.
We've got
a lot of positive comments from everybody. So thank you, everybody. And we will say thank you very much, Daniel. Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
See you again soon.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.